TD Paul Murphy has appealed to TDs to put pressure on their political parties to allow for a free vote on legislation to ban hair coursing. This bill, which proposes banning hair coursing on the grounds of animal health and welfare, was debated at second stage in the Dáil yesterday, and a vote will take place on Wednesday for the legislation to further proceed. Joining me now on the line is People for Profit TD Paul Murphy, as well as John Troy, representative with the Irish Coursing Club and Hair Husbandry with the Kilcullen course there. Deputy, good morning. Well, good morning to you both. First of all, Deputy Murphy, we'll come to you first in relation to bringing this bill in the Dáil in the first place. It's not the first time it's been put before the Chamber. It was brought up in 1993 and then back in 2015. But again, it is expected to be opposed next week. I suppose, really, what was the reason for wanting to bring it back up in the Dáil this week and hopefully going next week as well?
Because we think that it is time to ban the cruel practice of hair coursing, as has been done in the north, as is the case in the vast majority of European countries. Hair coursing, like, inherently involves cruel, terrifying treatment of the hairs. So every year, thousands of Irish hares, which are a unique subspecies only present in Ireland, they're captured in the wild, they are netted, they're put into little crates, and then they're held in captivity in enclosures with multiple hares together when the hare is a solitary species. So that's very stressful in and of itself, trained in this time. And then the event itself sees them being, you know, running for their lives. It's true that the dogs are now muzzled, but that's a good thing. But the hares don't know the dogs are muzzled. They are absolutely terrified, and they're being chased by two greyhounds that are 10 times their size, 10 times their weight. And inherent in this is sometimes the hares are pinned by the dogs, the hares are thrown into the air by the dogs, and sometimes the hares die during the event or shortly afterwards as a result of physical injuries or the stress imposed on them. So we just don't think that in 2026 we should be treating animals like this for our entertainment. We think it's wrong, and the bill outlines how it could be replaced by mechanical lure racing as exists in Australia, where a live hare is no longer used, and so the cruelty to the hare is done away with.
And Ireland is one of the only three European countries still in 2026 that allows hair coursing. Again, was it banned to use live hares on the grounds of animal cruelty in other countries? Was Australia, did they ban it because of that as well?
So it was a mixture in many countries between conservation, like in the north, there was precipitous decline of the hare population. So conservation kind of immediately, and then the broader point of cruelty. And both of these are important for us. In general, we have a biodiversity crisis in this country. That is, decline in populations of hares is not solely down to hair coursing. I wouldn't make that case. But there's no point in adding to the problems faced by the hare population. And then just the fundamental point about animal cruelty. And I would make the point that, you know, this is widely opposed by the Irish public. There was a Red Sea opinion poll in 2019 which found 77% of people were opposed to hair coursing. Only 9%, less than 1 in 10, were in support of it. And actually the opposition to hair coursing was higher in rural Ireland than it was in urban Ireland, because sometimes it's an attempt to say, oh, this is an urban-rural issue, and to try and create a kind of culture war issue out of it. It isn't. The Irish public is very united in being opposed the hair coursing, but unfortunately the big political parties, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, and unfortunately it seems Sinn Féin, are out of touch with that public opinion and seem likely, as it stands, to vote next Wednesday to allow this practice to continue.
And that was debated yesterday in the Dáil. Joining me now also on the line is John Troy. John, thanks for holding the line there. I suppose from your angle with this, you are involved with the Irish Coursing Club and you are hair husbandry with Kilcullen Coursing Club. You were also in the Dáil yesterday during this debate.
Yes, Hannah, thanks very much for having me on to give sort of our side of things. I understand Paul's points. I know he's been an adversary of our sport for a long time, and I'd like people to understand that we're not like, as it's easy to paint us as cruel and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you know, how bad we are against hares, but we're not like that at all whatsoever. The Irish Hare, the Irish Coursing Club and all local coursing clubs, which is approximately 80 plus throughout Ireland, throughout rural Ireland, would consider themselves protectors of hares. We do catch approximately 3,000 hares a year for our course meetings. Last year, 99.57% of them hares were released back into the open. They were released back where we caught them, in most places. They were released back in full, perfectly healthy states. The farmers that we would, one point there that Paul made about one or nine in ten people against coursing, I would totally disagree. I know he talks about it suits from to talk about the rural and the urban divide and stuff like that, but we would be an essential part of protecting the hares in rural Ireland. We have a number of WhatsApp groups, including our own in our own club in Aldi Cullen, and I know in the two open clubs in Newbridge, which would be Newbridge Open and Rosebery, have WhatsApp groups set up with local farmers to try and deter illegal hunting. Illegal hunting has been the vein of the Irish hare for a number of years, and over the last 7 to 10 years, it's absolutely gained a huge, huge amount of it going on in the country. Without us, we are the protector of the hares in a number of areas. We know we need to protect the hare because obviously we need the hare to protect or for to continue with our sport. If you would imagine that we would patrol most of our areas all times, 12 months of the year, we would patrol our areas. We got our license from about the 25th of August last until the 28th of February. That's when we can catch lice or catch and net hares. Our license is netting is the netting of the hares is what our license is. But we would protect our hares at all times. We would be contacting farmers. We would contact Gardaí at all times. There was a guard that was in Newbridge actually. Inspector Walker was a brilliant, brilliant help to us and to all the local clubs when he's retired now. We would contact the guards. We would contact the NPWS. We have gone as far as about 3 years ago, we set up a portal on our website, on our Irish Coursing Club website, where all our clubs would report in illegal hunting. And every year then we would, which I was personally involved in, we would give them reports to the NPWS about all different cases of legal hunting. Actually, only recently, actually, there was a conviction down in, I think it was Middleton and Cork, and it was actually on the evidence of a Coursing Club member to promote or to get that to get a conviction over the line was his evidence, where illegal hunting kept coming back and back to the farmer, and only the local coursing club, with liaising with the farmer, gave him such help. It happens all over the country. We are dealing with farmers, we're dealing with the NPWS, we're dealing with the Gardaí to protect the hare. We have probably one of the highest regulated sports in Ireland. This is a thing that's been going on for hundreds of years. We understand we have had to move with times. It was the Irish Coursing Club that brought in the muzzling on the greyhounds. We brought that into our rules to protect the hare. We felt that it was a benefit of the hare at the time. We understand that the hare has a lot of negatives in modern times. Modern farming, the fields have got bigger, there's a lot of ditches gone, there's a lot of the heavy ground gone. But illegal hunting is a huge, huge, huge burden on the hare. And we are providing him with as much protection as we can in that way. Without the Irish Coursing Clubs, this would obviously, if we didn't have to protect the hares, we didn't have our clubs, we didn't have our meetings, the hares would be absolutely under an awful lot of pressure from illegal hunting.
Deputy Murphy, bringing you back in with what John was saying about those regulations in place for hare coursing, if the bill was to go through to make it illegal, would there be fears that it would turn underground and it would become unregulated then if people are doing it illegally?
Yeah, I mean, firstly, look, I've no problem with John or people who are involved in Corsi, no personal problem. And I'm not trying to make out John or anyone else out to be a bad person. I would say, because this argument is, you know, that it's very highly regulated and so on, right? And it's better that it's regulated than it's not regulated. It's better that there is muzzles than there's not muzzles. But the essence of the thing is to capture the hares from the wild. That's not an experience, obviously, that they like. You keep them in environments that are unnatural for them, which is not good for them. And then they are chased by dogs. Again, not something that they are going to enjoy. And, you know, I give you the example from, because this is all online in the National Parks and Wildlife Service. And I believe John when he says they do everything they can to protect the hares and so on. But you look at what happened at the event in 29th and 30th of November at Old Kilcullen. This is from the MPWS report online. Four hares were hit, five were pinned to the ground, and one was killed after suffering injuries. So they killed the hare because the hare was injured as a result, presumably, of a dog pinning them or throwing them in the air or whatever. Mm. And that can't be avoided in hare coursing because of the nature of the sport. In terms of, okay, will it drive it underground? I mean, there isn't the evidence of that from other countries. So there is some illegal hare coursing takes place in Britain, but substantially less than was legally taking place prior to it being banned. And the question there is one of enforcement. Similarly, and again, I appreciate if John and others are doing work in terms of discouraging the illegal hunting of hares. But again, we have the experience on this island with the same subspecies of Irish hares of the banning of hare coursing in the north, and hare population didn't decline as a result of that. It recovered as a result of that, or it recovered certainly in that time. Whether it's causative link or not, you know, that we can debate that. But I don't think the evidence is there to suggest that if we got rid of hare coursing, then that's going to be a problem for the hares. And I would say, in terms of like people who want to participate in this sport, the idea of doing what they do in Australia, which is lure coursing, which isn't just, by the way, you know, going in a straight line a la greyhound racing. They move in different directions and so on, so it replicates the movement of the hare. I think that should be an option for people to consider, as opposed to continuing to take these creatures out of the wild and put them through this stressful and sometimes physically injuring situation.
John, would that be something that Irish hare coursing clubs have been looking at, of having a mechanical hare instead of a live one? Because I think the main crux of this is that these are animals who, although, you know, it's a bit more rare now for them to be killed during these coursing events, they are being traumatised, and it can put a lot of strain on them. It's not a pleasant experience to go through.
Yeah, I take that point. The effects of hares on coursing has been proved on two different surveys. There was one survey a number of years ago, and Paul and Noah, I'm sure it's been quoted to him a few times, that it was proven that the hares in areas that the coursing clubs exist, there's 18 times more hares within them areas. So that doesn't prove that, that doesn't show that they're having an ill effect of after being coursed. The second survey that was carried out by the Queen's University the year before last, it was commissioned by the NPWS and the department. Orchard Cullen actually was involved in it, actually, and another club down in Limerick. There was four cohorts of hares caught. There were some coursed hares released and some uncoursed hares released, caught and released again. There was tags and collars put on them by the Queen's University professors. I was involved in it myself. The results of that survey showed there was absolutely no difference between coursed hares or uncoursed hares. There was no difference between hares moving from one place to another. The hare is an amazing animal. He's around for thousands of years, and he's around for reasons. He's not around by pure luck. The hare has, I'm not sure if you're aware, Hannah, the hare has 360 degrees vision. He spent thousands of years evading capture on the earth. He knows how to, if you ever watch Corson, they did, the hare will turn well before the dog will come to the hare at all himself. He's the most amazing animal. He's always been able to avoid. He's a brilliant at adapting to his circumstances.
But does that mean that they should be put out for in front of dogs and be chased through a course?
No, it's not. But what I'm saying is that he's evolved that way over thousands of years. He's been chased for all times by, that's the way his body and his nature has developed with his 390 or 380 division and et cetera, et cetera. But no, I'm not saying it is. But what I am saying is that with the help of Corson, against Paul's point is, Corson clubs, hares are more plentiful where Corson clubs are. We are not all negative. What we do, okay, we do catch hares and bring them in. And I do take Paul's point that there was a hare euthanized in Oakley Cullen this year, unfortunately, which was very upsetting for all of us and of any other Corson club. There's nobody in a Corson club. I know the three lads, myself and two other lads, that takes care of the hares in Oakley Cullen. And you would treat them, and I'm sure Paul would give me the benefit of that. Mm-hmm. We would absolutely be, you would care for them, unbelievable amount you care for them. And we would be very upset when we lose a hare. You know what I mean? And unfortunately, there was a tip against that hare, and he did suffer an injury, and the vet made a decision to euthanize him. And he's correct, it did happen. But then point of we had caught, we released all our other hares, and all our hares, we would have evidence from farmers of how one particular farmer actually was actually speaking to him recently, where he contacted us about 3 or 4 years ago. Illegal hunting was an awful plight for him. We moved in on a couple of Sunday mornings there, and we caught our hares and stuff like that, and released our hares. And he said he's doubled the hares on his farm the last couple of years. He said it's amazing the way the hares have flew, he said. And he's totally putting it down to Oakley Cullen Corson Club letting them in. So, and that proves exactly what the Queen's University survey said, about 18 times more hares where Corson clubs exist. And it'll always be that way because we will always protect them. You know what I mean? A lot of people call us the conservator or the protector of the Irish hare, and it's not something we understand that the hare gives a lot to us, but we understand, people need to understand, we give a lot to the Irish hare as well, you know?
Deputy Murphy, again, you are calling on this for TDs to have a free vote in relation to hare coursing. Realistically, do you think that a free vote would be allowed in this case? By the sounds of it, it isn't going to be, and it is going to be opposed next week.
That's certainly the way it currently looks. I mean, the benefit of just the way that this debate has fallen is that the debate has happened on a Thursday and the vote's not till the next Wednesday. And that means there is a lot of time for the public to apply pressure onto politicians. And I really think people should take that opportunity to email, call their local TD and encourage them to support this bill and to request a free vote. I mean, we have had a number of people reported from Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael who say they would like to vote in favour of a ban on hare coursing. There's a number of people who are on the record previously as supporting it. I know for a fact that within Sinn Féin, there's a number of TDs who are very strong, actually, in terms of opposing hare coursing, and I'm sure would be sick to vote against a ban. So I'd encourage people to get on to their TDs in the between now and next Wednesday, and we see what we can do. I mean, just in terms of some of the statistics and stuff, and it will be, I mean, at some stage having a more in-depth conversation about this, right? Because you have these two studies that are cited. The one about the 18 times more hares in areas where coursing takes place is based on a study back in 2003, a very small sample of 135 hares in a small area of East Donegal, compared then to a sample of hares in another part of the country 4 years later, and then extrapolated to the whole country. And I just think it's mistaking correlation for causation. That, you know, actually the likely causative link is the other way around. Hare coursing is likely to have evolved to exist in areas where there's higher numbers of hares, as opposed to the hare coursing themselves is causing there to be a higher number of hares. And then the other study, the Queen's one, again, small sample size. But the key thing is, right, so you had, they tracked 40 hares, 20 coursed, 20 uncoursed, and, you know, see what happened to them. Only one hare from the coursed group was found alive. But then they assumed that all the hares that they didn't find were alive, which it just seems kind of bizarre to me and not clear. It's like you do a medical test and you assume anyone you can't find, well, they turned out grand, whereas I'm not, you know, where. So they found 8 of the uncoursed group out of the 20 alive, but they only found 1 out of the 20. Again, a small sample size, so I'd be loath to, like, make a strong claim based on this. I do think there needs to be more studies in terms of this. But I think regardless, look, those of us who are opposed to hair coursing, which I feel is a big majority in our society, just precisely, you know, I take the point about hairs being evolved to evade capture, to run. That's absolutely natural, right? I'm not opposed to that. But what is unnatural is humans arranging this for our own entertainment. It's humans capturing hairs from the wild, putting them together when that's not natural at all, and then setting up this coursing event. That is unnatural, and I think as a kind of species of humanity, we should evolve away from treating animals in that way.
Deputy, thanks for taking our call this morning on the Kildare Today show. John, as well. John, just one final word there. I see you were trying to get through there. Yeah. Just very quickly, as we are just a bit short for time.
Just to take up Paul, and I'd just like people to understand, the two surveys were totally independent surveys that couldn't have happened without the help of the Irish Coursing Club, because obviously we are able to catch the hares and use things that wouldn't be able to be done by the professors in Queen's University. They're exactly like that. We're about to hear Paul. Look, he can sell it a certain way and stuff like that. He may take up about the hair collars coming off the hairs. He'll have to take that up with Queen's University, not with Irish Coursing Club. We didn't cause that, or that didn't happen. He talks about a certain amount of hairs. The results of the survey said there was no difference between coursed hairs and uncoursed hairs. And it's easy for Paul Murphy or anybody else to come on the radio or the television and say this and that and the other. He'll have to take up that with. That was an independent government survey, and it was commissioned by the NPWS and carried out by the Queen's University. It wasn't carried out by the Irish Coursing Club. So it doesn't suit. Sometimes the results don't suit people when they time, but the results are the results. And the last thing I'd like to say, just the thing is, how important that coursing is for people. There's thousands of rural people all over Ireland that remain active outdoor, mentally and physically, because of coursing. We don't course hares for our entertainment, as Paul said. It's not as if he's making us out as if it's just that, like, we're barbarians for our entertainment. That's not what goes on. It's so important for a lot of people. A lot of people in maybe in the latter stages of their life are part of members of our clubs. That is so important mentally and physically. The coursing gives them an outlet, and it's just more than Paul is saying. It's easy for him to say all the negative sides, but people need to realise this is a part of rural Ireland that's been there for a long, long, long time, and we're fighting to keep it there and keep it as regulated as possible. And it is very, very, very regulated. And the Irish Coursing Club and the clubs of Ireland are working very hard to keep it that way. And it's not, they don't get any acknowledgement. And we're not looking for any acknowledgement from Paul or anybody else, any of our other adversaries against us. But we do need to recognise what we provide for the Irish hair. And he needs to recognise that. And the people that are against us need to recognise that if we're not here anymore, who will protect it? He won't protect them. He won't protect Irish hair, or people that comes on radios and giving out about us and all that. They won't protect Irish hair. They won't be out at night when a farmer calls them and that there's illegal hunters in their farm knocking down their, going across their farm after hares and stuff like that. When the coursing club goes on the WhatsApp group and 5 and 6 members of our club goes to try and protect that farmer's livestock or the hares, you know, he won't be on that, but we will be there. And that happens all over Ireland. And people need to understand that. Think about what will happen to the Irish hare if the Irish Coursing Club is gone.
John, thanks for your time as well on the Kildare Today show. And a lot of messages are coming in on 0833 97 97 97. But thank you to People Before Profit TD, Paul Murphy and John Troy, representative with the Irish Coursing Club and Hare Husbandry with Kilcullen Coursing Club, joining us on the line this morning discussing that proposal of the hare coursing ban to the Dáil. Again, it was debated yesterday and a vote will take place on Wednesday for the legislation.